观众朋友们，大家好，今天是5月16号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国商务部发表声明，称中国的华为公司危害美国的国家安全，将最后一次给予华为90天的执照延长。另一方面，美国官员表示欢迎台湾的芯片制造商台积电到美国建厂。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
台湾的半导体制造商，也就是台湾基体电路制造股份有限公司台积电，宣布呢将在美国的亚利桑那州投资120亿美元新建一座晶圆厂。那么预计呢在2012年动工，2024年开始生产。那么主要的产品呢将会是5纳米的芯片。对此呢，美国国务卿蓬佩奥他在5月15号星期五发出的声明，指台湾的芯片制造商台积电赴美建厂是一个历史性的事件，它将会把芯片制造带回曾经开创了半导体工业的美国，让高科技芯片再次打上美国制造的印记。而国务院的声明当中说呢，这些晶片将会被用在人工智能、5G 基地台、F-35 战机等关键的设备。蓬佩奥说，这个投资项目将会加强美国与台湾之间的关系。他说呢，台湾是一个生机勃勃的民主政体，是世界上一个向善的力量。而美国国这个商务部的部长呢，罗斯对于台积电的决定也表示赞扬。罗斯部长星期五也发出了声明说，台积电这个投资计划再次显示了特朗普总统的政策议程已经对美国制造业复兴产生了作用，使美国成为世界最具吸引力的投资场所。那么2019年的时候呢，美国曾经将华为列在实体清单上。特朗普政府在2020年5月13号将国家紧急状态的行政命令再延长了1年，以对国家安全造成威胁为理由，继续禁止美国企业使用华为的设备。而星期五呢，美国商务部宣布延长华为的临时通用许可证90天。这个许可证呢，也适用于华为在美国境外的114个分支机构。那星期五上午呢，美国商务部以及国务院的官员针对华为召开了背景简报会。在会上呢，资深官员表示，这个为期90天的延长执照将会是最后一次。那么呢，他说华为已经被列为美国的实体清单上面呢，但是却被发现还是利用海外购买零件等行为来逃避美国政府的禁令。资深官员说，针对华为的禁令分成两个方面，一个是设计方面，一个是制造方面。在设计方面呢，任何有使用美国公司技术但是由华为设计的芯片都会被列入实体清单。在制造方面呢，任何华为尤其114个分支机构生产的设备，如果使用了美国公司的技术，都需要经过商务部的核准。资深官员表示，这个可以把华为的经济竞争降到最低。那被问到呢，如果中国实施报复的话，针对如思科苹果的美国公司进行报复，美国政府如何回应？国务院资深官员表示呢，先看一下中国政府要怎么做，再决定回应。不过他也强调呢，今天针对华为的禁令，不只是因为华为违反了美国对伊朗的制裁，还有华为对美国科技公司的知识产权盗窃。此外呢，华为也违反人权，他的通讯以及5G 技术不但帮助中国政府监控自己的人民，是中国当局的维稳工具，也协助中国人民解放军进行下一个世代的战争，更是中国共产党全球战略的一部分，这危害了美国的国家安全。那我们知道呢，这个台积电其实是华为旗下海思半导体的主要芯片供应商。那么在这个白宫的背景简报会上呢，资深官员被问到说，那么华为是否有可能继续从台积电方面取得到美国的技术跟产品跟零件？那么对此呢，资深官员则是不愿意回应。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
一年一度的世界卫生大会将于下周一举行，台湾能否参加受到了高度瞩目。国会两党议员也通过各种不同的形式支持台湾的参与。我们来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
在全球笼罩在新冠疫情的威胁之下，美国国会和行政部门可以说是加大了力度支持台湾参与世界卫生组织。众议院台湾连线共同主席等205位众议员这个星期稍早联名致函世界卫生组织总干事谭德赛，敦促他邀请台湾出席即将在下个星期举行的世界卫生大会。来自佛罗里达州的共和党联邦参议员卢比奥一直以来时常在国会为台湾发声，他在接受美国之音采访时表示，如果是 世界卫生组织是一个专业的公共卫生组织，那么就不应该将台湾排除在外。我们来听听卢比奥参议员怎么说。
Well, Taiwan, first of all, has been a leader in the response. They've had some of the best practices in the world. I also think they've been impacted by a lot of the cases, so they would have a lot to add. And ultimately, they're right now, it's human beings living in Taiwan who are unrepresented at the WHO because of the political threats coming from China against the rest of the members. So, if this is about public health,We shouldn't be excluding them from participation.
在强大的支持声浪下，台湾是否能够参加即将在星期一登场的世卫大会？卢比奥说，他也无法得知。不过他强调，当前美国能做的就是发挥作为世卫组织成员的作用。我们继续来听听卢比奥议员的说法。
Well, I don't know about next week, obviously, because of the existing rules. What the U.S. can ultimately do is our membership in that organization is relevant. And I think after the pandemic has passed, it continues to be my preference that we focus right now on responding to the pandemic. But after the pandemic has passed, it's clear that the World Health Organization is in need of some significant reforms to return it to its proper function and what it was created to do in the first place. Other countries agree as well.And so it'll be interesting to see whether we can lead an effort to either reform that organization or, less than ideal, but if necessary, have to create an alternative to it.
除了美国之外，日本、加拿大和澳大利亚以及多个欧洲国家也都表示支持台湾参与世卫组织和世卫大会。与台湾有外交关系的14个国家也向世卫组织提案，表示支持台湾以观察员的身份参与世卫组织和世卫大会。以上是美国之音记者李义华、钟瑞哲在国会山的采访报道。
美国联邦调查局星期三正式公开指称，来自中国的网络黑客试图从研究新型冠状病毒疫苗与药物的美国机构窃取情报。我们来看美国之音记者许宁的报道。
美国联邦调查局 FBI 和美国国土安全部5月13号星期三发表联合公告，提醒那些研究新型冠状病毒病的美国研究机构可能成为中国网络攻击活动的目标。联邦调查局表示，正在调查与中国相关的网络行动者和非传统攻击者对美国的新冠病毒研究机构的破坏活动，说中国的网络黑客试图在新冠病毒研究人员和网络中识别和非法获取与疫苗治疗和测试相关的宝贵的知识产权和公共卫生数据。美国情报机构官员、国家反间谍与安全中心主任伊万尼娜星期三表示，与新冠病毒相关的威胁应对已经成为美国情报部门对华工作的重中之重。
U.S. government's decision to attribute that to them is not a small thing. And I think as we list the prioritized counterintelligence threats that are germane, the Communist Party of China, COVID now gets to the top of the list. Our ability to maintain, the fiduciary protective fidelity of our research and development.
美国国务卿蓬佩奥5月14号星期四发表声明说，美国政府谴责与中华人民共和国相关的网络行动者和非传统信息搜集者窃取与新冠病毒研究相关的美国知识产权和数据，呼吁中国停止这一恶意行为。声明说，中国在整个新冠病毒大流行期间进行了消极的行动，其在网络空间的行动是这些行为的延伸。美国网络安全与情报专家埃菲·迪米亚德斯最近对美国之音表示，研制新冠病毒疫苗的公司早在一个月前就反映他们受到了来自中国的网络袭击的频率开始增加。他说，联邦调查局可以公开中国黑客的身份并提出起诉，但这种公开的羞辱手段对减缓中国网络窃取行为只能产生微弱的效果。至于如何反制，美国情报专家说，美国可以私下或公开向中国政府表示美国将进行一定的报复行动，也可以通过在美国的证券交易所向中国的国有企业进行一些措施，或者通过关税来惩罚中国。以上是美国之音记者许宁在华盛顿的报道。
新冠疫情加深了美中两国之间的裂痕，甚至威胁到刚刚签署不久的第一阶段的美中贸易协议。经过艰难谈判才达成的美中贸易协议为何又陷危机？我们来看美国之音记者肖寻的报道。
美中两国近日发布的贸易数据凸显出的不仅是疫情下美中贸易仍然存在的巨大不平衡， 更重要的是，这些数据让一月份刚刚签署的美中第一阶段贸易协议看起来成了不可能的任务。美中第一阶段的贸易协议中有一个雄心勃勃的目标，就是中国承诺在2021年底将增加进口至少价值2000亿美元的美国产品。华盛顿智库战略与国际研究中心中国商业和经济项目主任甘思德在该中心网站上发表的评论文章中写道，新冠病毒大流行使得不现实成了不可能。甘思德认为这是协议中最具雄心也是最具风险的目标。美国商务部上星期发布的一季度的美国商品贸易数据显示，今年一季度美国向中国出口商品额比去年同期下降了10%。甘思德说，按照第一阶段的贸易协议，今年美国向中国出口应该增长36.6%。上周中国海关发布的四月份贸易数据显示，中国进口额仍然处于多年来的最低水平。经济研究机构凯投宏观在近期一份分析报告中认为，中国国内消费市场恢复缓慢，进口的前景并不看好。凯投宏观认为，这将可能导致第一阶段贸易协议破产，而那将意味着美国对更多进口自中国的商品征收关税。上周五，特朗普总统批评中方未能尽到己方在协议中的责任。特朗普在接受福克斯新闻台采访的时候，被问及协议是否会破产时说，我还没有做出决定，如果你想知道我的真正想法。而在特朗普接受采访之前几个小时，美中两国最高级别的贸易和财政官员举行了疫情发生以来的首次电话会议。美国贸易代表办公室表示，双方都同意在建立成功实施协议所必要的政府基础设施方面取得了良好进展。美国副贸易代表杰夫·格里什在近期的一个记者会上也谈到，美中在实施第一阶段的贸易协议方面一直没有间断接触。
But overall, I think the experience that we've had is that the Chinese are very, very committed to implementing their commitment. Now, there has been, some issues relating to purchases, we really have been talking extensively with the Chinese to make sure that they stay on track.
特朗普政府将美中达成的第一阶段的贸易协议视作是一个重要的成就，但贸易数据显示出中方在实现增加进口2000亿美元的目标上差距很大，这让他感到担忧。中国一季度经济同比收缩6.8%，这让仍然处在疫情中的外部世界感到震惊。而中国走出疫情，逐渐复产复工的时候，面对的却是一个意想不到的境况。疫情的全球蔓延正在将全球经济拖向衰退，而这对于中国而言，等于失去了出口市场。近年来，中国 GDP 的增长已经从出口推动型转向以国内消费带动为主，但疫情对中国国内消费的冲击难以在短时间内恢复。中共在4月17号召开的一次经济相关的政治局会议上提出，将扩大内需提升到了战略高度，强调积极扩大国内的需求，而支持出口转内销的表述，显然是考虑到外部需求已经发生了巨大的变化，这将使得中国难以实现它在第一阶段贸易协议中的购买承诺。战略国际研究中心的中国问题专家甘思德就贸易协议的前景列出了几种可能性：其一，诉诸协议中的双边评估和争端解决机制；第二，是可能绕过资商，迅速地进行惩罚并且退出协议；第三，是暂不提出抱怨，承认疫情影响中方购买能力，并相信在疫情之后它会得到恢复。美中签署第一阶段经贸协议的时候，曾经引发不同的反应，批评者仍在指出它在贸易协议上的局限性。纽约咨询机构荣鼎集团的创始合伙人荣大涅近日在一个报告发布会上谈到第一阶段协议时说
：“The U.S.-China Economic and Trade Agreement signed on January 15th doesn't really have most of the necessary attributes of a meaningful U.S.-China economic deal.” In my opinion, it's a managed trade arrangement that was designed to deliver very specific values of benefit to one side.
甘思德也认为，美国应该回到多边机制，才能更大程度地扩大出口。这也是他提出的第四种选项。他说，这是更为有效的方式，但同样也是最不现实的选项。美国之音记者肖洵，华盛顿报道。
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富，支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。
特朗普总统和他的民主党竞争对手拜登最近都公布了他们4月份的募款成绩。在疫情的冲击之下，他们的募款成绩究竟如何？我们一起去看一看美国之音记者平章和林璐的报道。
特朗普总统及其民主党竞争对手拜登的竞选办公室5月11日双双公布了4月份的募款总额。特朗普竞选团队及共和党全国委员会总共募款6170万美金，略微超过拜登竞选团队及民主党全国委员会在同期募到的6050万美金。整个四月，美国都笼罩在新冠疫情的阴影之下。出于防疫的目的，包括募款活动在内的所有线下竞选活动全部陷入停滞，只能改为通过网络直播和视频会议等形式在线上进行。与此同时，经济也遭受重创，3000多万人失去工作，失业率飙升至14.7%，更多民众面临着从健康到财务各方面的压力。分析人士认为，在这种情况下，看到依旧有这么多的捐款在政治系统当中流动，令人感到乐观。
In the political system, with so much anxiety over around finances and philanthropy and how to help and support our neighbors, there is still political giving happening.
特朗普的竞选团队表示，到目前为止，他们在这个竞选周期中总共筹集了7.42亿美金，比前总统奥巴马在2012年竞选连任时的同期募款额多出2.88亿。共和党全国委员会主席罗纳·麦克丹尼尔表示，虽然过去一个月日常生活节奏可能有所放缓，但对这位总统的热情和支持没有减弱。拜登则在一份声明中说，他明白在这样的经济困难时期付出金钱是多么大的牺牲。他写道，在面对经济不确定性的时候，你们选择了出钱支持我，为此我永远心存感激。不过和3月份相比，拜登和特朗普以及他们背后的支持团体都还是呈现出一定程度的募款下降，凸显出随着疫情的持续，竞选募款所面临的挑战。
Well, I think the challenge is just that, you know, you want to also seem sensitive to the environment. You're raising money online and asking people to give to a campaign contribution, while they might be struggling with, you know, are they able to pay the rent? You know, did they lose their job over this? When you see those job loss numbers. And, you know, not for a lot of times candidates also hold in-person event or galas to raise large amounts of money. But, you know, there's also benefits to that. You're not spending resources on those type of events and you're just going right and getting donations that you can really channel right back to programming.
虽然特朗普及其支持团体的募款总额连续两个月呈现下降趋势，但他相较于民主党对手依旧保有绝对的财力优势。特朗普的竞选团队表示，他们的银行账户里目前有超过2.55亿美元的现金。拜登方面还没有公开目前的资金存余，不过在3月底的时候，拜登竞选团队的账户里只有2640万美元。分析人士指出，特朗普竞选团队及共和党党组织在过去3年半的时间里打造的募款团队、数字化募款工具以及所铺设的资源网络都大大优于拜登一方。
Well, I mean, when you're the incumbent, there's just some advantages. You're singularly focused. You're not trying to wage that primary battle at the same time that you're building for a general election campaign. A lot of the resources, a lot of the tactics that Vice President Biden used was certainly to create a message in the primary to show that he was the best leader moving forward in the general election. So a lot of time, energy, resources will go into that and why you see some fundraising advantages for the nominee. You also have a team that's in place that's not, again, running against anybody in a primary, but singularly focused and building that over time. You know, and since he left office, you know, Vice President Biden hasn't had that robust political operation moving full time. So there is a bit of a rebuild.
达西同时指出，拜登从两个月前跟特朗普总统相距甚远的募款表现，到如今跟特朗普总统在募款上基本持平，反映出在他成为民主党推定提名人之后，民主党的资源在快速向拜登集中。而三月份就基本赢下党内提名，也给了拜登时间来重建政治运作，并获取资源，搭建募款所需的基础设施。特朗普的竞选经理布拉德·帕尔斯凯尔则表示，特朗普总统的巨额筹款再次证明他将在11月领导一艘不可阻挡的巨轮。由于在疫情之下，线下的高端募款活动无法进行，特朗普和拜登的竞选团队如今都更加依赖网上的小额捐款。竞选专家们认为，在这种情况下，能够抓住选民的注意力，跟尽可能多的选民对话，是竞选的难点，也是决定成败的关键。美国之音平章宁路华盛顿报道。
新冠疫情导致很多的大型活动都无法举行，而在2020年的美国，最大型的活动可能就要数全国总统候选人提名大会。来看报道。
新冠病毒可以改变一个政党用传统的方法去决定总统候选人的头衔，变成这样。欢迎了解虚拟政治大会可能的样子，将来自所有50个州和美国领土的代表连接到一起投票，选出总统和副总统的候选人。伊莱因·卡伊马克是布鲁金斯学会的美国政治专家。
You have to have a majority of the delegates voting for the nominee, and then there's literally a piece of paper that goes to the Federal Election Commission. When I was young, I brought it up to Walter Mondale on the podium and had him sign it, and that essentially puts you on the ballot in all the 50 states.
几周前，民主党人决定将计划中的现场大会从七月中旬移至八月中旬，即共和党大会之前。民主党领导人汤姆·佩雷斯表示，在大流行的不确定性下，民主党将继续考虑公共卫生，因为民主党计划在威斯康辛州密尔沃基举行数千人的大会。内定的总统候选人拜登建议民主党举行一次虚拟会议，可大会怎么开？
There needs to be at least what I would think of as three different platforms.
拉瑞·布朗负责乔治华盛顿大学政治管理研究生院。
There needs to be one secure platform for the delegates to be able to cast their votes, to be able to do their business.
那项任务，为本党确定总统和副总统候选人，不是拥挤的会议大厅。但想象一下，5000人的 Zoom 会议，一次要几个小时，甚至几天，都要保持信号强大而安全。
Then there needs to be another type of platform for participatory engagement for partisans from all across the country to be able to weigh in and actually give voice to some of their ideas and their preferences. Then I think there needs to be a third platform that is about the production of the show.
虚拟会议如何在电视上成为四个晚上的节目呢？
I'm not sure that producing a TV show without 20,000 people in an arena is going to be any worse than, you know, what we traditionally have. And there are more creative minds than mine that could certainly come up with a good way to do a television show.
And the show is likely going to be a very complicated one in which probably no one has a better sense of that than kind of the major broadcast networks who do these kinds of live events like the Super Bowl.
共和党人并没有排除举行虚拟会议的可能性，但是在一条推文中，特朗普总统嘲笑拜登提出了虚拟的会议的想法，暗示他有一些东西要隐瞒。但是拉瑞·布朗认为，虚拟大会可以使政治更具参与性和透明度。
The one thing this would allow is for more of the people to view the sausage-making process of politics.
美国之音记者雷迪什华盛顿报道。
新冠疫情的隔离措施让家人们有了更多团聚的时光。不过对于身在不同地区的家人们来说，团聚却没有那么容易。我们一起去看一看。
Just in time for Mother's Day, that's my mommy, who is under quarantine in my basement. She just arrived in Washington after weeks of a crazy COVID-19 emotional roller coaster. Mommy lives alone in Wanasari, Central Java. Her village has become a virus red zone with so many neighbors falling ill. She has a U.S. immigrant visa which expires in mid-May. So in mid-April, we decided to take the risk and fly her here. On the way to the airport, she decided to get a rapid coronavirus test, which turned out positive. In panic, even though she had no symptoms, she went to the hospital and stayed for 4 days. After CT scans and swab tests, she was declared negative. It turns out that her rapid test is part of this faulty batch that's now the source of controversy in Indonesia. Just as we rebooked her flight, President Trump tweeted he is suspending immigration. We freaked out because nobody had any idea initially what Trump meant until his executive order came out.
Can you please give some details about the executive order? I know that the White House has just released a document. I haven't had a chance to review it.
Well, we can talk about that later.
It turns out that the order doesn't apply to her. But just as we booked another flight, the Indonesian government announced that they were banning all modes of transport in and out of Jakarta. But we heard that there were exemption flights for those leaving the country. We managed to secure a seat, and then the airlines announced that they were canceling all flights because they didn't get government approval. Now, it was at this point when I noticed I developed a bald spot, which sometimes happens when I'm stressed. I'd show it to you, but I think my editors would cut it. Finally, after more detective work and lobbying, we got her on a different airline. She was one out of four passengers allowed to fly that day from this empty airport. On her way to Dallas to go to DC, the plane was diverted to Los Angeles due to a disruptive passenger. Three Marines on board subdued the passenger until landing. Mommy thought they were being hijacked. In the two-day journey, I wasn't able to contact her. She didn't believe me that airport Wi-Fis are free and was more worried about roaming charges than the sanity of her daughter. My bald spot got bigger. But she finally made it. At a time when so many people around the world are suffering, this story ended well for us, and we are very grateful. I can't wait until her quarantine is over so I can hug her. And for Mother's Day, I gave her the perfect present, a framed picture of my bald spot.
一些艺术家们正在尝试将味觉带入虚拟现实，我们一起去看一看。
虚拟现实的沉浸式体验给人耳目一新的感觉。现在空中盛宴 RMX将满足您的味蕾。
It's one of the first experiments where we are mixing VR and food.
在纽约的 J. 比尔德餐厅，马提亚·卡萨莱诺创造了一种虚拟现实用餐体验，可以让客人以新的方式品尝美食。
We are so much used to eat with our own eyes, of course, right? Whenever we go to a restaurant, for example, we sort of already have an idea of how things might taste like, right? If I order a particular item versus particular things, I sort of have expectations.
通过这种虚拟现实体验，来宾应该会期待意外的惊喜。在虚拟现实中，食物由抽象的 3D 形状表示，并与现场准备的真实食物相对应。来宾可以与这些虚拟形状和形态互动，然后把它们吃下去。
I think nobody can actually explain this concept to anybody in words. You have to experience it.
通过虚拟现实头盔上的运动跟踪相机，真实世界中的动作跟虚拟现实中的动作相对应。
They're able to bridge the gap between the virtual world and the real world, and what impact it has when you introduce food into this experience. All of a sudden, the virtual world no longer, it felt less virtual.
Having that, like, disconnection but reconnection with food through this digital representation of it made you kind of like think about flavor and texture and.Sensation in a different way.
一个所有感官的盛宴。美国之音郑蒂娜，纽约报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。 好，今天是五月十六号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国商务部发表声明称，中国的华为公司危害美国的国家安全，将最后一次给予华为九十天的执照延长。另一方面，美国官员表示欢迎台湾的芯片制造商台积电到美国建厂。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
台湾的半导体制造商，也就是台湾基底电路制造股份有限公司台积电，宣布呢将在美国的亚利桑那州投资120亿美元新建一座晶圆厂。那么预计呢在2012年动工，2024年开始生产。那么主要的产品呢将会是5纳米的芯片。对此呢，美国国务卿庞佩奥他在5月15号星期五发出的声明，指台湾的芯片制造商台积电赴美建厂是一个历史性的事件，它将会把芯片制造带回曾经开创了半导体工业的美国，让高科技芯片再次打上美国制造的印记。而国务院的声明当中说呢，这些芯片将会被用在人工智能、5G 基地台、F-35 战机等关键的设备。蓬佩奥说，这个投资项目将会加强美国与台湾之间的关系。他说呢，台湾是一个生机勃勃的民主政体，是世界上一个向善的力量。而美国这个商务部的部长呢，罗斯对于台积电的决定也表示赞扬。罗斯部长星期五也发出了声明说，台积电这个投资计划再次显示了特朗普总统的政策议程已经对美国制造业复兴产生了作用，使美国成为世界最具吸引力的投资场所。那么2019年的时候呢，美国曾经将华为列在实体清单上，特朗普政府在2020年5月13号将国家紧急状态的行政命令再延长了一年，以对国家安全造成威胁为理由，继续禁止美国企业使用华为的设备。而星期五呢，美国商务部宣布延长华为的临时通用许可证90天，这个许可证呢也适用于华为在美国境外的114个分支机构。那星期五上午呢，美国商务部以及国务院的官员针对华为召开了背景简报会。在会上呢，资深官员表示，这个为期90天的延长执照将会是最后一次。那么呢，他说华为已经被列为美国的实体清单上面呢，但是却被发现还是利用海外购买零件等行为来逃避美国政府的禁令。资深官员说，针对华为的禁令分成两个方面，一个是设计方面，一个是制造方面。在设计方面呢，任何有使用美国公司技术但是由华为设计的芯片都会被列入实体清单。在制造方面呢，任何华为由其114个分支机构生产的设备如果使用了美国公司的技术都需要经过商务部的核准。资深官员表示，这个可以把华为的经济竞争降到最低。那被问到呢，如果中国实施报复的话，针对如思科、苹果等美国公司进行报复，美国政府如何回应？国务院资深官员表示呢，先看一下中国政府要怎么做，再决定回应。不过他也强调呢，今天针对华为的禁令，不只是因为华为违反了美国对伊朗的制裁，还有华为对美国科技公司的知识产权盗窃。此外呢，华为也违反人权，它的通讯以及5G 技术不但帮助中国政府监控自己的人民，是中国当局的维稳工具，也协助中国人民解放军进行下一个世代的战争，更是中国共产党全球战略的一部分，这危害了美国的国家安全。那我们知道呢，这个台积电其实是华为旗下海思半导体的主要芯片供应商。那么在这个白宫的背景简报会上呢，资深官员被问到说，那么华为是否有可能继续从台积电方面取得到美国的技术跟产品跟零件？那么对此呢，资深官员则是不愿意回应。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
一年一度的世界卫生大会将于下周一举行，台湾能否参加受到了高度瞩目。国会两党议员也通过各种不同的形式支持台湾的参与。我们来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
在全球笼罩在新冠疫情的威胁之下，美国国会和行政部门可以说是加大了力度支持台湾参与世界卫生组织。众议院台湾连线共同主席等205位众议员这个星期稍早联名致函世界卫生组织总干事谭德赛，敦促他邀请台湾出席即将在下个星期举行的世界卫生大会。来自佛罗里达州的共和党联邦参议员卢比奥一直以来时常在国会为台湾发声，他在接受美国之音采访时表示，如果是 世界卫生组织是一个专业的公共卫生组织，那么就不应该将台湾排除在外。我们来听听卢比奥参议员怎么说。
Well, Taiwan, first of all, has been a leader in the response. They've had some of the best practices in the world. I also think they've been impacted by a lot of the cases, so they would have a lot to add. And ultimately, right now, it's human beings living in Taiwan who are unrepresented at the WHO because of the political threats coming from China against the rest of the members. So if this is about public health, we shouldn't be excluding them from participation.
在强大的支持声浪下，台湾是否能够参加即将在星期一登场的世卫大会，卢比奥说他也无法得知。不过他强调，当前美国能做的就是发挥作为世卫组织成员的作用。我们继续来听听卢比奥议员的说法。
Well, I don't know about next week, obviously, because of the existing rules. What the U.S. can ultimately do is our membership in that organization is relevant. And I think after the pandemic has passed, it continues to be my preference that we focus right now on responding to the pandemic. But after the pandemic has passed, it's clear that the World Health Organization is in need of some significant reforms to return it to its proper function and what it was created to do in the first place. Other countries agree as well.And so it'll be interesting to see whether we can lead an effort to either reform that organization or, less than ideal, but if necessary, have to create an alternative to it.
除了美国之外，日本、加拿大和澳大利亚以及多个欧洲国家也都表示支持台湾参与世卫组织和世卫大会。与台湾有外交关系的14个国家也向世卫组织提案，表示支持台湾以观察员的身份参与世卫组织和世卫大会。以上是美国之音记者李一华、钟瑞哲在国会山的采访报道。
美国联邦调查局星期三正式公开指称，来自中国的网络黑客试图从研究新型冠状病毒疫苗与药物的美国机构窃取情报。我们来看美国之音记者许宁的报道。
美国联邦调查局 FBI 和美国国土安全部5月13号星期三发表联合公告，提醒那些研究新型冠状病毒病的美国研究机构可能成为中国网络攻击活动的目标。联邦调查局表示，正在调查与中国相关的网络行动者和非传统攻击者对美国的新冠病毒研究机构的破坏活动，说中国的网络黑客试图在新冠病毒研究人员和网络中识别和非法获取与疫苗治疗和测试相关的宝贵的知识产权和公共卫生数据。美国情报机构官员、国家反间谍与安全中心主任伊万尼娜星期三表示，与新冠病毒相关的威胁应对已经成为美国情报部门对华工作的重中之重。
U.S. government's decision to attribute that to them is not a small thing. And I think as we list the prioritized counterintelligence threats that are germane to the Communist Party of China, COVID now gets to the top of the list. Our ability to maintainthe fiduciary protective fidelity of our research and development has never been more important than it is right now as we move forward to find an answer to this vicious disease.
美国国务卿蓬佩奥5月14号星期四发表声明说，美国政府谴责与中华人民共和国相关的网络行动者和非传统信息搜集者窃取与新冠病毒研究相关的美国知识产权和数据，呼吁中国停止这一恶意行为。声明说，中国在整个新冠病毒大流行期间进行了消极的行动，其在网络空间的行动是这些行为的延伸。美国网络安全与情报专家埃菲·迪米亚德斯最近对美国之音表示，研制新冠病毒疫苗的公司早在一个月前就反映他们受到了来自中国的网络袭击的频率开始增加。他说，联邦调查局可以公开中国黑客的身份并提出起诉，但这种公开的羞辱手段对减缓中国网络窃取行为只能产生微弱的效果。至于如何反制，美国情报专家说，美国可以私下或公开向中国政府表示美国将进行一定的报复行动，也可以通过在美国的证券交易所向中国的国有企业进行一些措施，或者通过关税来惩罚中国。以上是美国之音记者许宁在华盛顿的报道。
新冠疫情加深了美中两国之间的裂痕，甚至威胁到刚刚签署不久的第一阶段的美中贸易协议。经过艰难谈判才达成的美中贸易协议为何又陷危机？我们来看美国之音记者肖寻的报道。
美中两国近日发布的贸易数据凸显出的不仅是疫情下美中贸易仍然存在的巨大不平衡， 更重要的是，这些数据让一月份刚刚签署的美中第一阶段贸易协议看起来成了不可能的任务。美中第一阶段的贸易协议中有一个雄心勃勃的目标，就是中国承诺在2021年底将增加进口至少价值2000亿美元的美国产品。华盛顿智库战略与国际研究中心中国商业和经济项目主任甘思德在该中心网站上发表的评论文章中写道，新冠病毒大流行使得不现实成了不可能。甘思德认为这是协议中最具雄心也是最具风险的目标。美国商务部上星期发布的一季度的美国商品贸易数据显示，今年一季度美国向中国出口商品额比去年同期下降了10%。甘思德说，按照第一阶段的贸易协议，今年美国向中国出口应该增长36.6%。上周中国海关发布的4月份贸易数据显示，中国进口额仍然处于多年来的最低水平。经济研究机构凯投宏观在近期一份分析报告中认为，中国国内消费市场恢复缓慢，进口的前景并不看好。凯投宏观认为，这将可能导致第一阶段贸易协议破产，而那将意味着美国对更多进口自中国的商品征收关税。上周五，特朗普总统批评中方未能尽到己方在协议中的责任。特朗普在接受福克斯新闻台采访的时候，被问及协议是否会破产时说，我还没有做出决定，如果你想知道我的真正想法。而在特朗普接受采访之前几个小时，美中两国最高级别的贸易和财政官员举行了疫情发生以来的首次电话会议。美国贸易代表办公室表示，双方都同意在建立成功实施协议所必要的政府基础设施方面取得了良好进展。美国副贸易代表杰夫·格里什在近期的一个记者会上也谈到，美中在实施第一阶段的贸易协议方面一直没有间断接触。
But overall, I think the experience that we've had is that the Chinese are very, very committed to implementing their commitments. Now, there has been, some issues relating to purchases, and we really have been talking extensively with the Chinese to make sure that they stay on track.
特朗普政府将美中达成的第一阶段的贸易协议视作是一个重要的成就，但贸易数据显示出中方在实现增加进口2000亿美元的目标上差距很大，这让他感到担忧。中国一季度经济同比收缩6.8%，这让仍然处在疫情中的外部世界感到震惊。而中国走出疫情，逐渐复产复工的时候，面对的却是一个意想不到的境况。疫情的全球蔓延正在将全球经济拖向衰退，而这对于中国而言，等于失去了出口市场。近年来，中国 GDP 的增长已经从出口推动型转向以国内消费带动为主，但疫情对中国国内消费的冲击难以在短时间内恢复。中共在4月17号召开的一次经济相关的政治局会议上提出，将扩大内需提升到了战略高度，强调积极扩大国内的需求，而支持出口转内销的表述，显然是考虑到外部需求已经发生了巨大的变化，这将使得中国难以实现它在第一阶段贸易协议中的购买承诺。战略国际研究中心的中国问题专家甘思德就贸易协议的前景列出了几种可能性：其一，诉诸协议中的双边评估和争端解决机制；第二，是可能绕过资商，迅速地进行惩罚并且退出协议；第三，是暂不提出抱怨，承认疫情影响中方购买能力，并相信在疫情之后它会得到恢复。美中签署第一阶段经贸协议的时候，曾经引发不同的反应，批评者仍在指出它在贸易协议上的局限性。纽约咨询机构荣鼎集团的创始合伙人荣大涅近日在一个报告发布会上谈到第一阶段协议时说，
The US-China Economic and Trade Agreement signed on January 15th doesn't really have most of the necessary attributes of a meaningful US-China economic deal, in my opinion. It's a managed trade arrangement that was designed to deliver very specific values of benefit to one side.
甘斯德也认为美国应该回到多边机制才能更大程度地扩大出口，这也是他提出的第四种选项。他说这是更为有效的方式，但同样也是最不现实的选项。美国之音记者肖寻华盛顿报道。
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富，支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。
总统和他的民主党竞争对手拜登最近都公布了他们4月份的募款成绩，在疫情的冲击之下，他们的募款成绩究竟如何？我们一起去看一看美国之音记者平章和林璐的报道。
特朗普总统及其民主党竞争对手拜登的竞选办公室5月11日双双公布了4月份的募款总额。特朗普竞选团队及共和党全国委员会总共募款6170万美金，略微超过拜登竞选团队及民主党全国委员会在同期募到的6050万美金。整个4月，美国都笼罩在新冠疫情的阴影之下。出于防疫的目的，包括募款活动在内的所有线下竞选活动全部陷入停滞，只能改为通过网络直播和视频会议等形式在线上进行。与此同时，经济也遭受重创，3000多万人失去工作，失业率飙升至14.7%，更多民众面临着从健康到财务各方面的压力。分析人士认为，在这种情况下，看到依旧有这么多的捐款在政治系统当中流动，令人感到乐观。
In the political system, with so much anxiety over around finances and philanthropy and how to help and support our neighbors, there is still political giving happening.
特朗普的竞选团队表示，到目前为止，他们在这个竞选周期中总共筹集了7.42亿美金，比前总统奥巴马在2012年竞选连任时的同期募款额多出2.88亿。共和党全国委员会主席罗纳·麦克丹尼尔表示，虽然过去一个月日常生活节奏可能有所放缓，但对这位总统的热情和支持没有减弱。拜登则在一份声明中说，他明白在这样的经济困难时期付出金钱是多么大的牺牲。他写道，在面对经济不确定性的时候，你们选择了出钱支持我，为此我永远心存感激。不过和3月份相比，拜登和特朗普以及他们背后的支持团体都还是呈现出一定程度的募款下降，凸显出随着疫情的持续，竞选募款所面临的挑战。
Well, I think the challenge is just that, you know, you want to also seem sensitive to the environment. You're raising money online and asking people to give to a campaign contribution, while they might be struggling with, you know, are they able to pay the rent? You know, are they, did they lose their job over this? When you see those job loss numbers, and, you know, not for a lot of times candidates also hold in-person event or galas to raise large amounts of money. But, you know, there's also benefits to that. You're not spending resources on those type of events, and you're just going right and getting donations that you can really channel right back to programming.
虽然特朗普及其支持团体的募款总额连续2个月呈现下降趋势，但他相较于民主党对手依旧保有绝对的财力优势。特朗普的竞选团队表示，他们的银行账户里目前有超过2.55亿美元的现金。拜登方面还没有公开目前的资金存余，不过在3月底的时候，拜登竞选团队的账户里只有2640万美元。分析人士指出，特朗普竞选团队及共和党党组织在过去3年半的时间里打造的募款团队、数字化募款工具以及所铺设的资源网络都大大优于拜登一方。
Well, I mean, when you're the incumbent, there's just some advantages. You're singularly focused. You're not trying to wage that primary battle at the same time that you're building for a general election campaign. A lot of the resources, a lot of the tactics that Vice President Biden used was certainly to create a message in the primary to show that he was the best leader moving forward in the general election. So a lot of time, energy, resources will go into that, and why you see some fundraising advantages for the nominee. You also have a team that's in place that's not, again, running against anybody in a primary, but singularly focused and building that over time. You know, and since he left office, you know, Vice President Biden hasn't had that robust political operation moving full time. So there is a bit of a rebuild.
达西同时指出，拜登从两个月前跟特朗普总统相距甚远的募款表现，到如今跟特朗普总统在募款上基本持平，反映出在他成为民主党推定提名人之后，民主党的资源在快速向拜登集中。而三月份就基本赢下党内提名，也给了拜登时间来重建政治运作，并获取资源，搭建募款所需的基础设施。特朗普的竞选经理布拉德·帕尔斯凯尔则表示，特朗普总统的巨额筹款再次证明他将在十一月领导一艘不可阻挡的巨轮。由于在疫情之下，线下的高端募款活动无法进行，特朗普和拜登的竞选团队如今都更加依赖网上的小额捐款。竞选专家们认为，在这种情况下，能够抓住选民的注意力，跟尽可能多的选民对话，是竞选的难点，也是决定成败的关键。美国之音平章宁路华盛顿报道。
新冠疫情导致很多的大型活动都无法举行，而在2020年的美国，最大型的活动可能就要数全国总统候选人提名大会。来看报道。
新冠病毒可以改变一个政党用传统的方法去决定总统候选人的头衔，变成这样。欢迎了解虚拟政治大会可能的样子，将来自所有50个州和美国领土的代表连接到一起投票，选出总统和副总统的候选人。伊莱因·卡伊马克是布鲁金斯学会的美国政治专家。
You have to have a majority of the delegates voting for the nominee, and then there's literally a piece of paper that goes to the Federal Election Commission. When I was young, I brought it up to Walter Mondale on the podium and had him sign it, and that essentially puts you on the ballot in all the 50 states.
几周前，民主党人决定将计划中的现场大会从七月中旬移至八月中旬，即共和党大会之前。民主党领导人汤姆·佩雷斯表示，在大流行的不确定性下，民主党将继续考虑公共卫生，因为民主党计划在威斯康星州密尔沃基举行数千人的大会。内定的总统候选人拜登建议民主党举行一次虚拟会议，可大会怎么开？
There needs to be at least what I would think of as three different platforms.
拉瑞·布朗负责乔治华盛顿大学政治管理研究生院。
There needs to be one secure platform for the delegates to be able to cast their votes, to be able to do their business.
那项任务，为本党确定总统和副总统候选人，不是拥挤的会议大厅。但想象一下，5000人的 Zoom 会议，一次要几个小时，甚至几天，都要保持信号强大而安全。
Then there needs to be another type of platform for participatory engagement for partisans from all across the country to be able to weigh in and actually give voice to some of their ideas and their preferences. Then I think there needs to be a third platform that is about the production of the show.
虚拟会议如何在电视上成为4个晚上的节目呢？
I'm not sure that producing a TV show without 20,000 people in an arena is going to be any worse than, you know, what we traditionally have. And there are more creative minds than mine that could certainly come up with a good way to do a television show.
And the show is likely going to be a very complicated one in whichprobably no one has a better sense of that than kind of the major broadcast networks who do these kinds of live events like the Super Bowl.
共和党人并没有排除举行虚拟会议的可能性，但是在一条推文中，特朗普总统嘲笑拜登提出了虚拟的会议的想法，暗示他有一些东西要隐瞒。但是拉瑞·布朗认为，虚拟大会可以使政治更具参与性和透明度。
The one thing this would allow is for more of the people to view the sausage-making process of politics.
美国之音记者雷迪什华盛顿报道。
新冠疫情的隔离措施让家人们有了更多团聚的时光，不过对于身在不同地区的家人们来说，团聚却没有那么容易。我们一起去看一看。
Just in time for Mother's Day, that's my mommy, who is under quarantine in my basement. She just arrived in Washington after weeks of a crazy COVID-19 emotional roller coaster. Mommy lives alone in Wanasari, Central Java. Her village has become a virus red zone with so many neighbors falling ill. She has a U.S. immigrant visa, which expires in mid-May. So in mid-April, we decided to take the risk and fly her here. On the way to the airport, she decided to get a rapid coronavirus test, which turned out positive. In panic, even though she had no symptoms, she went to the hospital and stayed for 4 days. After CT scans and swab tests, she was declared negative. It turns out that her rapid test is part of this faulty batch that's now the source of controversy in Indonesia. Just as we rebooked her flight, President Trump tweeted he is suspending immigration. We freaked out because nobody had any idea initially what Trump meant until his executive order came out.
Can you please give some details about the executive order? I know that the White House has just released a document. I haven't had a chance to review it.
Well, we can talk about that later.
It turns out that the order doesn't apply to her. But just as we booked another flight, the Indonesian government announced that they were banning all modes of transport in and out of Jakarta. But we heard that there were exemption flights for those leaving the country. We managed to secure a seat, and then the airlines announced that they were canceling all flights because they didn't get government approval. Now, it was at this point when I noticed I developed a bald spot, which sometimes happens when I'm stressed. I'd show it to you, but I think my editors would cut it. Finally, after more detective work and lobbying, we got her on a different airline. She was one out of four passengers allowed to fly that day from this empty airport. On her way to Dallas to go to DC, the plane was diverted to Los Angeles due to a disruptive passenger. Three Marines on board subdued the passenger until landing. Mommy thought they were being hijacked. In the two-day journey, I wasn't able to contact her. She didn't believe me that airport Wi-Fis are free and was more worried about roaming charges than the sanity of her daughter. My bald spot got bigger. But she finally made it. At a time when so many people around the world are suffering, this story ended well for us, and we are very grateful. I can't wait until her quarantine is over so I can hug her. And for Mother's Day, I gave her the perfect present, a framed picture of my bald spot.
一些艺术家们正在尝试将味觉带入虚拟现实，我们一起去看一看。
虚拟现实的沉浸式体验给人耳目一新的感觉。现在空中盛宴 RMX将满足您的味蕾。
It's one of the first experiments where we are mixing VR and food.
在纽约的 J. 比尔德餐厅，马提亚·卡萨莱诺创造了一种虚拟现实用餐体验，可以让客人以新的方式品尝美食。
We are so much used to eat with our own eyes, of course, right? Whenever we go to a restaurant, for example, we sort of already have an idea of how things might taste like, right? If I order a particular item versus particular things, I sort of have expectations.
通过这种虚拟现实体验，来宾应该会期待意外的惊喜。在虚拟现实中，食物由抽象的 3D 形状表示，并与现场准备的真实食物相对应。来宾可以与这些虚拟形状和形态互动，然后把它们吃下去。
I think nobody can actually explain this concept to anybody in words. You have to experience it.
通过虚拟现实头盔上的运动跟踪相机，真实世界中的动作跟虚拟现实中的动作相对应。
They're able to bridge the gap between the virtual world and the real world, and what impact it has when you introduce food into this experience. All of a sudden, the virtual world no longer, it felt less virtual.
Having that, like,disconnection but reconnection with food through this digital representation of it made you kind of like think about flavor and texture and sensation in a different way.
一个所有感官的盛宴，美国之音郑蒂娜，纽约报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。